It's amazing the difference in the sound when we're all sitting together like this. It's just sometimes when you're standing at the front, you wonder actually if there's a congregation there. But the sound here is really good, and it means something about being together, celebrating together, and being the people of God together. The theme of these readings, which those who have prepared the lectionary in their spirit-led wisdom have put together, the theme is quite simple. It's one of generous hospitality. And it's generous hospitality that we're going to look at. Sheila and I have got a very good friend in Northern Ireland who is always ready to invite people for meals. But more than that, he opens up. He's got a cottage. He's got a house in Belfast, but he's got a cottage on the shore of Carlingford Loch. And he opens that cottage up. Anybody who wants to stay there, you can go and stay there. And it's usually well kitted out with wine, with spirits, and also with lots of food. He is somebody whose life exhibits generous hospitality. Nothing is too much trouble, and he goes out of his way to make people feel comfortable. In our reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews, the writer challenges us to keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for in so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So we're invited to offer a generous hospitality. And it is as Jesus challenges us in our gospel reading. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbours, because if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. We experience the importance of fellowship as God's people as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, enjoying each other's company and support. And it's here in our eating and drinking together that the liturgy and the ritual become real in our own experience of being a community of God's people. In the Old Testament, the focus of the Passover was on the celebration of the Old Covenant, of being God's chosen people who were saved and redeemed and restored, celebrated as households, as communities, who also brought in, showing their hospitality to strangers and widows and orphans. In the New Testament, the focus moves to the new meaning that Jesus put on the Passover, the new covenant in the death of Christ for each of us, where together in the Lord's Supper we find the forgiveness of sin and new life in Christ, empowered and comforted by God's Spirit. Our response to being members of this new covenant, this new people of God, is to give our lives to each other and to God in Christ. We gather as a local body of Christ, the church, to share his body, to share one loaf. We experience God's grace towards us in Christ and then respond in our love and our care for others. But the first movement is always from God. It's God who encounters us with his grace, with his love. And this is what we do in our celebration of the Lord's Supper. So how is it realized? What does it mean for us, for this congregation? Well, here we tell each other the story of God's love and forgiveness in Christ, which is celebrated through bread and wine. We recommit ourselves in covenant with God, and we grow inwardly and spiritually in Christ. For us together as a community of God's people, we find reconciliation. We find the giving and receiving of the peace, which is where we are reconciled. We share our faith stories through testimony. We covenant to walk together and to watch over each other in love. And we demonstrate an outward spirituality through mission and discipleship, through our daily work, our daily lives. And it is these faith stories, often it's meeting together before we come in, or it's meeting together over coffee and tea, that we actually share those stories of what God is doing in our lives and what God means to us. God, through the Holy Spirit, reaches out and communicates with us through the bread and wine that we share. We receive forgiveness, we receive joy and healing and reconciliation. It's the fruit of a loving relationship with God, and it's our hope in Christ. Christ's own self-giving, his hospitality, is something that we can mirror. The way in which Christ gives himself to us, we can mirror in our relationships within the church. So we can explore thanksgiving, hospitality, feasting, sharing, reconciling, forgiving, healing, covenant, discipline, serving, and justice. And such exploration will shape our character and the character of the church. I was listening to the morning service this morning, and it's celebrating the Notting Hill Carnival. And the Notting Hill Carnival was established in the 1970s. As a place where there would be feasting and reconciliation, where people from various communities and various ethnic groups would come together and to celebrate with joy and with food and with reconciliation. And this is exactly the model that we find in celebrating the Eucharist in church. So how we take communion makes a difference. It does matter how we act out what we believe when we are sharing bread and wine, what it means for us to be the body of Christ in and for the world, not just for each other. For example, do we partake as individuals or as a community? Dead ritual is easy to spot. A dead rite is no substitute for reality. For example, breaking bread and pouring wine in a congregation of people whose lives are in no way broken for the world or poured out in love for neighbours is dead. Thankfully, how we celebrate here is certainly not dead. Through the Eucharistic retelling of the story of God's creating, redeeming, and liberating love, we find that the Spirit is able to minister to our needs, to our concerns, and to the concerns of us as a community. Meals are a great place through which to get to know each other. Eating together, as we do in the village at Christmas and harvest, as a community, it's an important social event. And in the church practice of home communions for those who are unable to get out, it's a vital expression that they also belong to the fellowship. And it is important for us as we share hospitality with each other at various times in the year. It's part of growing together. The growth of Agape UK, which began at Holy Trinity Brompton some 50 years ago, is an evangelistic program which helps people to discover Jesus together through conversations around a meal table. The first response in this program is usually to invite people to our homes for food, for fun, for laughter, for conversation. It's an easy way to get to know others better, to show them that we value them and love them. It's a form of evangelism through generous hospitality. We make an opportunity to offer a listening ear, which our friends and our neighbours need to be able to express their concerns, their feelings, what they are experiencing in their lives. We all want to belong. We want to feel included. We want to have a sense of community in our lives. And we have this here in the fellowship of God's people here in Odal. And we can invite others into this, being absolutely sure that they will find a welcome. They will find people who will listen to them and be generous with them. But many people in our society, even in some churches, feel marginalized. They feel lonely and they feel forgotten. And as we read the Bible, we see that in God's kingdom, people are not left on the sidelines. They're brought into a new family. God is a hospitable God, and God's hospitality is generous. And yet that's not the experience of many people who we live around. As we read earlier, Jesus encourages us to welcome the stranger, the outsider, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. This is a good picture of what God is like, and the welcome that you and I have received and continue to receive. And God wants to welcome the outsiders into his family to enjoy the good things that we have already found. As his church, we're encouraged to show this same generous hospitality. There's a need for the church to recover the true sense of community and hospitality through sharing meals that are transformed through our acted memory of Christ's own presence and love. The Eucharist is the place where we encounter Christ and where he encounters us. It is at this table gathering that we become who we are, the body of Christ in and for the world. We recognize that the table fellowship, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the recounted story is truly sacramental. It's a visible expression of an invisible grace, as St. Augustine wrote, in demonstrating a community of God's people capable of love, demonstrating forgiveness through their shared lives. We recognize that forgiveness and hospitality and reconciliation are an essential part of our understanding of being the people of God, our understanding of sharing bread and wine. And as our gospel reading continued, Jesus gives a warning that we also need to be humble, not to claim the best place. Humility is part of hospitality. I am not the Lord of the manor or Lady Bountiful offering charity to my neighbours. I am a Christ-like servant demonstrating a Christ-like love through generous hospitality. We recognise that the sacraments are a means of grace for healing and transformation and for creating community. We receive forgiveness, joy, healing, and reconciliation, the fruit of our loving relationship with God. The meaning of the cross is clearly seen in as our worship proclaims the Lord's death. Christ's own self-giving is mirrored in our relationships within his church. We covenant together, we become reconciled in the name of Jesus, and then we turn outward to the task of reconciliation that God has given us. Pope Francis puts it this way: when we are generous in welcoming people and sharing something with them, some food, a place in our homes, our time, not only do we no longer remain poor, we are enriched. I'm grateful to all of you, because Sheila and I have felt enriched through the time that we have spent here. In the name of Christ, I say thank you.